I preach in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Father's Day to any fathers here on Zoom or listening, and you who are father figures to those you love. Happy Father's Day. On my recent holiday, at home in the lounge room, like everybody else, rather than pining for an overseas holiday, which I'd normally have booked by now, I spent some time on YouTube and Google Earth, like so many of us, I suppose. One YouTube video I watched with fascination showed planet Earth in relation to other planets and stars, and you may have seen these videos. There's Earth, and it looks huge. The words, "You are here," appear underneath. And you think, wow, we live on a huge, big planet. That is, until you see Kepler, and then Neptune, which are vastly bigger than Earth. Then Saturn, which is vastly bigger again. And Earth is now insignificant in comparison. Then Jupiter. Then the Sun, and Earth is now minuscule. Then Sirius A. Then Pollux. Then Arcturus. Then Aldebaran. Then Rigel, called the blue supergiant. Then Antares A. Then Mu Cephei. Then VY Canis Majoris. And finally, UY Scuti. UY Scuti is mind-bogglingly huge, unimaginably huge. And Earth is now an unrecognisable pinprick out there in the galaxy somewhere. And the largest star in our galaxy, UY Scuti, is itself but a pinprick among several hundred billion stars and countless galaxies. Earth seems irrelevant, no more than perhaps the size of a grain of sand in the outback desert of Australia. It sort of prompted one of those existential ponderings. Are we just mindless matter drifting through the universe? Why should we bother about anything? These existential ponderings we find in the opening verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, which is part of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. It opens meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, nothing matters. Life is like vapour. But I also got onto Google Earth, and if you've ever been on Google Earth, you'll know just how extraordinary it is. Suddenly, rather than being a pinprick of nothingness, here was planet Earth, complex and beautiful and challenging. I looked at cobbled lanes in Hungary, temples in Japan, the Ganges River, streets of Kabul, the Brandenburg Gate, the vast Middle East deserts, soaring mountains in Switzerland, architecture in Russia, ancient and modern holy sites, signs written in many languages, and people, nearly 8 billion or so individuals formed into families and communities and nations, sharing this little plot of earth. The intricate network of humanity became strangely clear even through a screen. Over the last little while, both climate change and the pandemic have brought home that in so many ways we rely on each other more than perhaps at any other time. How do we care for each other then, this little family of nearly 8 billion? If we're so interconnected, and I believe we are, how do we look out for each other on this little patch of earth so that we not only survive but flourish If you're like me, sometimes challenges can come at us like a fire hose. Who wants to even turn on the news anymore? Too much sorrow, too much poverty, too many conflicts, too many issues. Well, as always, if we turn to Scripture in both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, we hear the whisper and encouragement of God about how to make sense of this. From the book of Proverbs, which Scott read, which is like Ecclesiastes, part of wisdom literature, and then when we look at centuries later from the writing of James, brother of our Lord, and then from the Gospel of Mark, we hear of some ways we can care for each other. From the book of Proverbs, that book with about 800 short and pithy sayings as to how to live a good life and how to get on together, we have this truth. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whatever social or economic differences, wherever we are on the planet, whatever separates the rich and the poor, in the end, they are both God's creatures and equal before God. All are imago Dei, made in the image of God. And if we believe this, then our neighbour is as precious as we are. And if they are as precious as we are, no wonder the proverb that follows is, "Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor." The generous will be blessed when they share their bread with the poor. What I have will feed you. I have food you do not. Have some of mine. You do not have justice. I will fight in your corner. You are not safe in your country. Let me argue your case so that you are welcomed. You have lost work because of COVID. Let me pay one of your bills. This is what James, the brother of our Lord, echoes. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you don't supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? Mother Teresa said, "We may feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that missing drop." Our Archbishop here in Melbourne, Archbishop Freer, said just this week, "Let's be known for our willingness to forego our own advantages so that others can have a share of the good things we have. Let's be worthy of God's best truth for us." In a gospel reading from Mark chapter 7, Jesus continues to reveal why he is the best truth for us. He's in largely Gentile territory, that is, non-Jewish territory. There's some tension there. A Gentile man is brought to him who's deaf and with a speech impediment. Some people beg Jesus to heal him. And we can note no social distancing here, because Jesus takes him away, puts his fingers in the man's ears, puts his own spit on the man's tongue, and sighs the Aramaic word, "Ephrathah, be opened." On the surface, Jesus looks a wonderful example of compassion and love, healing a man who's suffering, just as he's healed a Syrophoenician woman's daughter just prior, and all the Gospels explore how often Jesus heals people. And it's so compassionate and loving. But with this man in particular, there's more going on. Only twice in the whole of Scripture is a particular word used. The Greek megalalos, or speech impediment, in Mark here and in the book of Isaiah. centuries before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah spoke of a time when a new creation would come, coming into full flower in the Son of David. In chapter 34 of Isaiah, the prophet describes God who sees only a disastrous world where everything has gone wrong. But in chapter 35, Isaiah describes God recommitting God's self to creating a new world, a wholesome, delightful world for all to enjoy. Isaiah writes, "The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing." Can you hear these words repeated in Mark? Well, why is this a big deal? It's a big deal because Jesus is the one who is the new creation. In restoring this man, he reveals himself as the new creation, the one who will restore Israel and more than Israel. In healing this Gentile man, he subtly points to himself, that through him, all that is good and life-giving for this man is good and life-giving for all. In fact, the astounded crowd say he has done all things well. He has done all things well. These words echo the words from Genesis, where God creates all and all is good. What I'm trying to say is much better, of course, said in Paul's letter to the Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things, in heaven and on earth, were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I quoted earlier from the book of Ecclesiastes, where the writer initially describes life as meaningless, like vapour. But the writer doesn't end there. The writer ends his ponderings not pessimistically, but with wisdom about what gives life purpose and meaning. And he writes, "Now that you have heard everything, reverence God and keep God's commandments. This is what being human is all about." End quote. Love God, love neighbour. Serve someone in this small family of almost 8 billion who, like you and me, are imago Dei, made in the image of God. In loving God and loving neighbour, Christ's new creation for a good world is for the more and not the few. I hope you're coping okay. I hope we can soon see you back at church. We can't wait for the church to be open and to see you again in person. Enjoy the beginning of spring, and the Lord be with you.